Sport on Highland, brought to you in association with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Go the distance with a great range of running shoes, sports gear and accessories at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll hear from Donegal Harvest Stages Rally COC, Eamon McCafferty, ahead of the return of the sport to the county this coming weekend. In our Donegal Senior Championship preview this week, we're joined by a man that has won the Dr. Maguire with Niamh Connell. That's John Gilday. And in our League of Ireland chat, Keith Cowan is back on the airwaves tonight as we look ahead to Harps against Dundalk and Derry City on the road against Shamrock Rovers. And we're going to start with some news around Finn Park, and I'm sure as you heard today on our sports bulletins, Finn Harps have extended an invitation to David Beckham to visit the club and county. The Ballybuffet side announced a new main sponsor deal today, linking in with global esports organisation Guild Esport PLC. The UK-based company is co-owned by David Beckham, and Harps will work with Guild to increase their audience base in Ireland, encouraging Irish gaming talent to join Guild's world-class academy. The partnership will see Guild branding on both Harps' first and second team jerseys and on FIFA 2022. Finn Harps marketing officer is Aidan Campbell. He says it's an unprecedented sponsor agreement in the League of Ireland, adding that a cult following on the FIFA game opened the channels for discussions.
Fantastic news for everyone. As you said, we've been looking for a main sponsor since we had the sponsorship with KN Group, and we'd like to say again thanks to Dona and everybody at KN for the support for 3 years. Of course, then we were in the midst of a pandemic when there was a lot of companies not operating, so it was kind of difficult to get in front of people and present our case for sponsorship. But we had several interested parties, but this, when it originated, it came from a kind of unusual place in that on the FIFA game, Finn Harps had an incredibly low rating, and we didn't realise, but we developed a bit of a cult following in, with young gamers around the world. So that prompted a meeting with Guild, and we started talking about ideas about the crossover between football, live football, and the huge growth industry that is gaming and esports. One thing led to another, and here we are with the sponsorship. So fantastic work by all of our media and marketing team, and it's great news for the club.
Yeah. How is this agreement and a new deal going to benefit Finn Harps, Aidan?
Well, first of all, I suppose the main thing about League of Ireland at the moment is there's a huge debate on how we get young people engaged with the league and how we really speak to young people about the benefits of live football, supporting the club, and that football is not just a TV show, it's been part of something. And a great way to do that, a great way to harness that, is the growing world of esports. The figures for participation are growing all the time. I think it's something like 800 million in this country. It's I think something like 2.5 billion people worldwide are active gamers. So it's just something that's going to grow and grow. And so through channels, through working with people like Guild, who've got both the marketing expertise and the reach into a younger market, we're hoping to obviously get, first of all, local young people engaged with Guild through a series of initiatives and coming to matches. And second of all, they're obviously going to help us, get a wider audience for putting our jerseys out there, putting the Finn Harps brand out there, engaging people with the club. So we're very hopeful, and the meetings so far have gone very well. It's a new territory. It's something completely unprecedented in the League of Ireland, but we've had a lot of meetings at this stage, and we're really looking forward to working with them.
Okay. What's the chances of David Beckham coming to Finn Park, Aidan?
Well, the invitation is open, and, you know, when we were having the negotiations, it was quite a high level, people who are probably used to dealing with a higher level than us, but I did mention that Donegal was voted the coolest place on earth, which they were very impressed with, and I could obviously give them the evidence from National Geographic magazine. So we did put out an invitation to David and Victoria and the family, and they're more than welcome to come to Finn Park, try the soup, and enjoy the lovely scenery around Donegal.
Yeah. If that doesn't happen, Aidan, I'm sure you'd take a friendly against Inter Miami.
Well, why not, you know? And, you know, if David wants to don the boots again, we've got the surface is better in Finn Park than it's ever been, so I'm sure he'll enjoy a game out there.
I'll get him signed up, Aidan. Listen, just speaking of gaming, has the recent campaign of Harps helped your rating any on the world of esports?
Well, I think our ratings are a bit higher. I think some of our players are a bit sensitive about the ratings that they got last year, but we're a little bit higher and our form's better. So they break down the stats into pace and shooting and everything else. And so it's a bit of a sensitive subject within the Harps dressing room, Oisin, but I think we're doing a bit better this year.
That's Finn Harps Marketing Officer Aidan Campbell on the news of Harps' new sponsor today. Well, this coming weekend on the pitch, Finn Harps are at home tomorrow night against Dundalk. A kickoff time to that game is at 8 o'clock, while Derry City are on the road against Shamrock Rovers tomorrow night as well. Looking ahead to those games this weekend on our League of Ireland chat is former Finn Harps captain Keith Cowan. Well, I suppose, Keith, first of all, we'll just start with some news coming out of Finn Park today. We're just after hearing from Aidan Campbell, marketing officer at Finn Harps. They released the huge news today that they're teaming up with an esports organisation, Guild Esports PLC. They're becoming the main sponsors of the club, which I suppose is a huge boost for them. Were you much of a gamer, were you? On the Xbox,
maybe back in my university days, maybe I might have achieved a higher grade than leaving university if it hadn't been for the Xbox or the PlayStation. But ever since that, no, I can't say I've been had much time for the gaming, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But interesting news, really interesting news. You know, it's I suppose any input or any finances coming the way of Harps is going to be only a great thing for the club. But as I say, I don't know too much about them now. But I say, as you know, it's any sort of investment, because I suppose having the lowest budget in the league, that's, you know, sometimes is mentioned quite a lot. You know, hopefully this might put people away to that there.
Yeah, it's a big boost for Harps getting the main sponsor on board. We'll come back to the Harps in just a second. Michael Duffy has signed a pre-contract agreement. He's coming back to Derry City, which is a massive boost for Derry. Patrick McElhinney's on his way back. Don't be surprised between now and the start of next season if there's a couple more. As Derry push to be contenders, Keith, and I suppose when you're bringing somebody back of the calibre of Michael Duffy, there's huge intent there, so there is.
Yeah, that's a huge sign, and you know, it's going to be a massive boost for Derry. As we said before, Patrick McElhinney confirmed a couple of weeks ago that he was going to be making his way back there. And obviously now Michael Duffy, as his Dundalk teammate, is doing the same. Huge, probably, you know, two of the standout players over the last couple of years in the league, and, you know, massive in what Dundalk have done cup-wise and league-wise as well. Played huge parts in Europe. So he'll be a massive signing, both of those players, you know. And there's talk as well of Will Patchen, who was there during the year, returned to Dundalk halfway through the season. Apparently he's almost a done deal, and I think the rumour mill is spinning away as well, obviously with the investment that Georgie Kelly could be making his way back to Derry, which a front three of McElhinney, Duffy and Georgie Kelly would be quite devastating to the rest of the league. So wait to see how that one or those ones pan out, but yeah, to get McElhinney and to get Duffy and to get those names secured, that's going to be massive for Derry for next season.
Yeah, it would be absolutely huge. Sort of. What about the task at hand then for Derry this coming weekend? They're going to the champions. They're going to the league leaders. Tough place to go, the Tallaght Stadium against Shamrock Rovers.
Always is, you know. Rovers have opened up a nice gap, I suppose, 9 points between themselves now in second place. Pats and beating them last week was a huge result. And, you know, you could say almost has put the league to bed. I know there's still 8 games to go, but, you know, 9 points is a massive lead, and they can almost stretch that out as well with a win against Derry this weekend. Obviously, Derry have their own thoughts. You know, they're looking for Europe. If these lads are going to be coming from the dock with, I'm sure, big wages to pay, etc., then they're going to be needing European football. So they're going to have to be hanging on to that fourth place. And they'll be looking. They've been going really well, I think, the two form sides in the league so far. over the last couple of games anyway. And Derry will have their work cut out. They were unlucky there the last time they went to Tala. I think it was a ball that went out along the halfway line, and a throw-in was taken 20 yards further up the pitch, and Rovers scored from it. But so they'll remember that, and they'll remember how they were treated the last time they were up there. So they'll be looking to put those wrongs right and to, you know, hopefully come away with 3 points.
Yeah, moving on now to Finn Harps taking on Dundalk. That's our feature match this weekend. We've got live commentary on Friday night from Ballybuffet as Harps host Dundalk, kicks off at 8 o'clock. Gavin Collins joining Jeremy Doherty on commentary for this one. Who's your pressure under here going into this one, Keith? Obviously, Harps 2 points ahead, seventh place in the table. Dundalk took a big one earlier this week. There'll be a spring in their step. Both sides have form. Is it a real pressure game now for both sides? When you factor in that Ollie Horgan has already mentioned a couple of times this season, in a campaign before they were safe with 32 points, Keith, they've already exceeded that, so they have.
Yeah, look, this is a massive game for both sides. You know, when you look at the league table and from where Dundalk are and where Harps are, you win two games and results go your way above you, you're looking at Europe, you know, and two defeats and you're looking at a relegation playoff. That's how tight it is in there. So this one has, you know, and so you kind of throw the cup game into the mix that was played a couple of weeks ago, you know, where I'm sure the other one will, Harps will want to get their own back, obviously, going out in the cup to Dundalk. You know, Dundalk will have nightmares about the last time they were up at Harps as well, and they threw away a two-goal lead. So this is a massive game for both clubs. Harps will be smart because they'll be wanting to get their own back. Dundalk, you know, you look at Dundalk and you see, you know, the players that we just mentioned there, Michael Duffy, Will Patchin, you know, Patrick McElhinney, they're really looking about next season. You know, are they going to be really going down there, give it everything, you know, for that game? And, you know, will it, suppose they'll be wanting to leave their legacy intact, you know, as they had such great careers there, both Duffy and McElhinney. So, yeah, it's a massive game. I fancy Harris for this one. I really do. I just think their form has been so good, at home especially. You know, Ollie alluded to it during the week as well, how much their results have picked up, you know, since the crowds got back in. So the home games are massive. 8 games to go, 5 games at home. They'll be looking to pick up 3 points tonight, on Friday night, and I think they definitely have the team to do it.
Will that be a factor? Will the likes of Duffy, McElhinney and Patchin and these players, now we know that Duffy's going to move, is that going to have a factor on the whole sort of atmosphere in the dressing room and how Dundalk are gelling together?
I think it's only natural. I think, you know, if you're in a dressing room and you know that the lad next to you or the lad across from you has other plans and, you know, is going to be away next season, and, you know, so this game doesn't really matter to them as such in terms of what's to come down the road. Yes, they can say, look, yeah, we want to do our best for the club while we're here, and maybe that's what they have said. But I just think knowing that someone was leaving or someone's mind wasn't totally focused on the job at hand. Now, these are professionals as well, and look, these lads are wanting to be, you know, not wanting to get beat in any game. But when you bring all those factors into the mix, it does create doubt. You know, the fans will have something to go on, and I'm sure they will. I'm sure they'll let both players know if they're playing that, you know, where their loyalties might lie, and, you know, trying to get a bit of niggle going, and I'm sure the players might even mention it, you know. But look, I think it's, you know, it makes for a great game. It adds to it. So I think, you know, you expect a really tight affair come Friday night.
Yeah, Mark Andy McGinley's back in for selection again. Do you expect him to go between the posts, or has Jared Doherty done a good enough job since he was filling in?
Yeah, well, you know, Jared hasn't put a foot wrong, you know, and has done really well. But, you know, your number one is your number one. You know, I think Mark's been fantastic, you know, throughout the season. A couple of errors, but, you know, that's goalkeeping. And, you know, it's a position that's very unforgiving, as we know. But I think, no, he's your number one. He's been excellent. You know, I'd expect him just to go straight back in.
Yeah, okay. So we expect Mark Anthony McGinley to be back between the posts. Do you see many goals in this game?
I suppose last time out didn't disappoint us, you know, in terms of, you know, we had 3 at Oriel Park, we had 6 the last time at Dundalk, you know, both teams Dundalk very much an attack inside. You know, I suppose their frail part of their game this year has been their defending, you know, and their lack of any real leadership back there. You know, Gartland seems to be a massive miss from after picking up that horrible injury at the start of the year. And, you know, Andy Boyle coming back in, you know, really hasn't maybe set the world alight like his experience would, you know, what have you, what have you believe or what have you convinced. So I think, yeah, there's goals. You know, we look at the Harps front three. Owen Abbey's on form. Sean Boyd's coming into form. You know, Dan Hawkins came back off the bench for his first appearance in a few weeks there, got a goal last week. You know, the lads are chipping in from the back. So, yeah, I expect goals in this one. Hopefully they're coming for the home team.
Yeah. Just a note on another fixture that could have a bearing on how the sides are sitting come the end of Friday evening, Saturday morning. Sligo Rovers, or Saturday night rather, Sunday morning. Sligo Rovers taking on Waterford. I'm sure both Harps and Dundalk will be hoping Sligo can do them a favour in relation to Waterford.
They will, you know, and I think, I suppose, Sligo need a result, you know, after the last time out, because Sligo have been hanging on to that third place in the league now for months and having really indifferent form. You know, they had a great start to the season. You know, they got hammered last week by Dundalk 4-1 at Oriel Park. You know, they've lost their last two games. You know, they really do need a performance. But then this Waterford side, you know, that, you know, just seems to be getting, you know, slowly ticking away, and, you know, a good young side, and, you know, fearless in their approach. And, you know, they're going really well. They have a cup semi-final to look forward to as well. So, yes, you'd be praying the Sligo, you know, could do Harps a favour. But they have to look after their own ship as well. They have to look after European football for next year. So I don't think they'll be looking as much to do Harps any favours as maybe themselves and just trying to get that 3 points on the board.
That is a similar case then with Drogheda, or just above Harps and Dundalk. They're at home on Friday night against St. Patrick's Athletic. I think Pats will take the one on that one.
Well, again, Pats, you know, aside as well, that, you know, have lost their last two games. You know, they'll probably be thinking, well, you know, it's never over until it's over, obviously. You know, they've got that 9-point gap between themselves now and Rovers. They'll just want to get back to winning ways. And again, they also have the semi-final to look forward to against Dundalk. So, you know, it'll be about, you know, getting themselves in the manager's thoughts and, you know, just trying to get a good performance and get 3 points.
Yeah, one other game, Longford Town taking on Bohemians. Georgie Kelly, I'm sure, will be looking to add to his tally this year in the league on the road at Flankhill Park on Saturday.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he'd be seeing this as an opportunity to get a few goals. But then, you know, Bohs themselves have to look at their own league position and their performance. They haven't won in three in the league, you know, so that's very disappointing for them. You know, they have that game in hand, yes, but they, you know, they have to be picking up points. They would have thought, maybe looking back last week when Harps and Dundalk had both gone to extra time, and, you know, and that was their next two games, that they maybe thought they could have caught those two in the hops. Both teams went and beat them. Dundalk beat them there on Tuesday night, was it? And then Harps beat them as well on Friday pass. So, you know, they'll need to get their act back together. Yes, Georgia will be looking for goals, but same as that there, they'll just really be looking for the 3 points.
Yeah. Just one other, I suppose, question for you. And I know that a lot of people have been asking people around Finn Park a similar question over the last couple of weeks. You think they're looking up or looking down, Keith?
It depends who you ask. I think if you ask the man in the hot seat, he'd just be saying that we're just trying to keep our heads above water. But I think the players, you know, the fans, I think there's a real good sort of feel-good atmosphere there at the minute. You know, the cup stuff, you know, like last-minute winners, you know, they fill the bus, taking them down to Dundalk, you know, going to Daly Mount and, you know, beating Bohs 2-1. You know, I suppose, yes, it's all about keeping players grounded, you know, and just, you know, looking at the next one. But, you know, there's no harm in looking up either. And just seeing what's ahead of you.
Well, if you were a player, if you were still playing now, would you be looking up or down?
I think you have to look up. I think you have to look up. You know, I am still a player, and I'm still playing, just in case you don't recognize me. I am looking up.
I am looking up. You're a Harps player.
If
you were a Harps player and you were in the dressing room with Ollie Horgan, would you be saying, listen, Ollie, we need to look up here?
I would be saying, once Ollie left the room, I'd be saying we have to look up. I think that's the way I would put it.
That's former Harps captain Keith Cowan looking forward to the weekend's games. Just one other note of soccer this coming weekend. There has, of course, been FAI Junior Cup and Area Shield matches being played under the Donegal League umbrella. This Sunday is the first full weekend of the new Premier Division season. Bunnygee United are up against Glenae United. Cappie Rovers play Kildrum Tigers. Castlefin Celtic take on Kilmacrenan Celtic. Convey Arsenal are playing Cager Rovers. And Drumkeen United are on the road as they go to Donegal Town. That's a full programme of games on Sunday in the new Premier Division in the Donegal League, kicking off at 1 o'clock. There's also games this weekend in the Ulster Senior League and in the Inishowen Junior League too. On the Gaelic Games front, it's another busy weekend of championship action in the Northwest, with round three of the Donegal Senior Football Championship taking centre stage. Wins for Gweedore, Kilcar, Glenswilly and Neve Connell will all secure a quarter-final place. And the winner of a feature game on Sunday between St Eunan's and Éire will also book a place in the last eight. The action gets up and running tomorrow night, Friday, with our draw against Kilcar. And I've been looking ahead to those matches in round three of the championship with a former winner, with Neve Connell, John Gilday. Before we actually look at the games this weekend, John, maybe you give us a feeling as to what it's like around the parish of Neve Connell at the moment. Yes, they are playing ball, but there's this whole scenario that's still in the air about the 2020 final. Obviously, people involved in the club aren't talking about it. Involved in the club directly is what I mean with the team and those who were involved last year. What's the feeling around Neve Connell, around the Glenties Fintown area, about what's went on off the back of the 2020 situation?
I suppose initially there will be a degree of disappointment, that Kilcar decided to go down this route. People have different opinions on one thing or another, obviously, but it's from a club perspective, I would imagine, and from talking to some of the lads, like, it's water on the bridge. It's over. You can't, as somebody once said to me, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube again when it's out. They've celebrated the victory. They lifted the cup. You know, when this saga ends, nobody knows. But all I can, whatever comes out of it, whatever way it goes, if Kilcar are successful, say, for example, it'll be a tick in a record book, but it won't. There's no joy to it. There's no enjoyment. And that's the whole idea behind playing sport and having the parish involved. So from a Neve Connell perspective, we've had the celebration. We have the cup. We can see it in Glenties anytime if you want to come up and have a look at it. It's more than welcome. And whatever happens in a boardroom in 3, 6, 9, whatever it might be, is really irrelevant. And now it's about focusing on 21 and moving forward and going from there.
Okay, well, if Neve Connell are to take victory this weekend, which you would expect them to do comfortably against Termon, they will seal their place in the last eight of the competition. The likes of Gweedore, Kilcar, Glenswilly, we mentioned Neve Connell, and the winner of Eunan's and Éire, if they all pick up victories in their respective games, they will secure a last eight berth. We'll start maybe with Kilcar, John, who are on the road to our draw on Friday night. Big derby match there once again. You would expect Kilcar maybe to come through that without, I suppose, any major worries, would you?
You would anticipate that. They're going quite well. They probably... Now, what I would say about our draw, they've been improving a lot over the last number of years. There's a lot of work going into the club over there. Some great people in our draw, always has been. And they've been building steadily, and they've had some good results in this year's championship already. I know there's a little bit of doubt over the initial game, but realistically, I'm right in thinking in our draw could be going in 4 points as well if that board decision goes their way, or that whenever that comes into play. So they're building steadily. There's obviously an age old historical rivalry between Kilcar and our draw down through the years, back into the 80s. when both sides were very, very dominant for long periods of time. So obviously, Kilcar, one of the top teams in the county, have been thereabouts for the last 5 or 6 years. You would anticipate that they're going to be thereabouts for the foreseeable future as well. So all things being equal, you would anticipate that Kilcar will win. It might be tighter than maybe some people imagine or anticipate. And, I see this as a young, improving Ardra side that on their day could put it up to them. But I would expect Kilcar to come out on top.
On to Saturday, the first game in early start, McCool's against Bundoran. McCool's also Bundoran also involved in that situation with our draw. The game has been ordered to replay, but it might not go on for a couple of weeks yet. But they're playing a McCool's side who are at home, and McCool's know that they need to pick up a victory because they're winless at the moment.
Yeah, So far, it's been a very disappointing championship, I would suggest, from a McCool's perspective. I think after their endeavours last year, and with the amount of young talent that's coming through the club, they probably expected more out of this year's championship. St. Michael's beat them in the first game, and they would have been looking at that as thinking that's a game they could have won. And then obviously Glenswally pipped them the last time round, and they were very dominant in the second half, and Glenswally just got over the line. So they were probably two games that, if you were looking at them on paper, given the form from last year to this year, the McCools would have been expecting to get something out of. And to end up with no points in that puts them in a very difficult situation. For example, if Bundoran beat them in Bundoran, which is not out of in McCool, but which is could happen, it's a 50-50 game, then they're under real pressure on the back end of the equation, where they're going into the last game having to win a game, maybe to stay out of relegation playoffs, etc. So it's difficult for McCool's. Bundoran, they're going quite well at the moment. You know, depending on how things go in the boardroom again for them, they could be looking at a quarter-final situation very easily. So a big game for both clubs for different reasons right now.
Yeah, the other two matches on Saturday, both in the far side of the county. You mentioned St. Michael's there, who had the opening day one against McCool's. They'll be looking to bounce back following the defeat at the hands of Gidor last week. But you would expect maybe the men from the bridge to come through their tie against Four Masters? Or is this the game that Four Masters are going to show about a maybe championship pedigree in, John?
I don't think so. I think that they're struggling right now. They're probably a couple of years too early. There's some very good underage sides coming through at the present point in time and are very competitive and very strong. That was an exceptional Four Masters team for a number of years with the Dunyans, the Lacys, and that group of players, Barry Monin, etc. And to have to replace that wholesale and then have a new crop coming through, that transition hasn't been as smooth maybe as they're hoped. So Michael's, on any given day, can give anybody a game of it. They would have been disappointed against Gidor, although, Gidor, I would suggest right now, along with Niamh Connell, Kilcar, and possibly St. Eunice, are a step ahead of all the rest, as has been seen over the last couple of years. So I would expect Niamh Michael and St. Michael's to win that game. But Four Masters will be looking to put up a very decent showing and set themselves up again for games down the line.
Yeah, a lot of people would suggest St. Eunice's a ruined Sunday as the tie of the round, but St. Noel's against Glenswally on Saturday, and the last game on Saturday, it has a tasty ring to it, and this could be a really, really close one. St. Noel's looking to bounce back after one the last day, but Glenswally so far, in one way, the surprise of the championship, and in another way, they're not. So 2-1 from two sitting joint top of the table.
Yeah, and it's the draw can help you an awful lot as well. And I don't mean that disrespectfully to Glenswally, because a lot of they're a great side. They've been a great championship side over the last 10-15 years and have really punched above their weight. I thought that they were going to struggle over the next couple of years until that younger crop came through and bedded in. And obviously you still have Michael and Copper and those guys still driving the ship there. They've done very, very well. They've had two good victories. As I said, victories that, the other side of the other teams would have expected to win those games or felt they were in with a shout. And Glenswally did what Glenswally did and won two games and experience got them across the line. They're looking at going up to St. Noel's. A victory brings them into the quarterfinal, which would be an incredibly successful year for the club. And St. Noel's, again, will be looking at Glenswally going, okay, are they as good as they maybe as the points tally are showing? So they'll fancy their chances as well. And St. Noel's is no easy place to go to. So I think that'll be a ding-dong match. Again, what you'll be thinking is experience might swing at Glenswally's way and it might be enough to bring them into the quarter final at 6 points, but could go anyway. I think there's a lot of games in this time round that could go either way, particularly in that middle section as such.
Yeah, we've only had one draw so far in the championship. That was Aroa and Niamh Connell last weekend. This Noel's Glenswally game is the sort of match we could see a draw in.
Yeah, but even McCool's Bundoran could go anyway. There's two or three matches there that could go anyway, and it wouldn't be surprising if they went to a draw. I would suggest maybe the Aroa Niamh Connell game on paper, if you were previewing it last week, nobody would anticipate a draw out of it. But football has, and particularly in this type of weather, the weather's bad. Conditions underfoot are bad. Games can take a life on their own. If you looked at the Niamh Connell Aroa game, Sorry, I just interrupted there. The Connolly Rua game, there was a big, I suppose, thought process that New Connolly would be too strong for them, a couple of years too early for Rua, but they turned around the second half and went at it and got a very good result, and their tails will be upcoming to O'Donnell Park on Sunday.
Yeah. They did give the Glenties boys a bit of trouble last week. Can Terman in any sort of way trouble Niamh Connell in the first game on Sunday? It was, of course, at home in Davy Brennan Memorial Park. Glenn Finn put it up for a half against Niamh Connell in the opening game. Can Terman replicate that, or is it going to be a day where Terman might suffer a heavy defeat like what they did last year?
I think Terman have probably been one of the most unfortunate clubs in the Championship over the last 2 to 3 years. An incredibly young, gifted team that's coming through that haven't got a break at all because they end up playing Kilcare, St. Ewan's, New Connell a couple of times, which is never easy at the best of times, but particularly not easy for a very young team. And then if you look at some of the other clubs that have got half-decent draws, you know, you can eke out a victory. So confidence-wise, it's going to be difficult. It's always difficult coming to Davy Brennan Park to play Niamh Connell. They haven't been firing all cylinders. There's a bit of a hangover there from 21 Championship. They did enough to beat Glenfinn. They nearly got caught again at Rua. I would suggest that maybe that was a wake-up call, and I would expect to see a much more ruthless Niamh Connell performance this weekend. Again, I think it'll be, you know, I think Niamh Connell won. I would hope that, unlike last year, you know, tidings like that don't help either team. And I don't think it's very good for a team to get, you know, pasted like that on a regular basis. And, you know, if Terma could go up there and grind out a really good, solid result and, you know, have that in their drawer then for later down in the Championship, I think it would help them a lot. But I think Niamh Connell have too much for them right now.
Second game on Sunday. Is that Mahra Gallan? Are Gweedore back on it again? Are they following their Championship victories a number of years ago? And they take on Glen Finn, but they seem to be motoring good in 2021 and are real contenders again, do you feel, John?
I do. And to me, they're the surprise packet of the Championship, even though everybody, you know, expected them to do well, whatever. I thought they were very sluggish last year. They had really a hangover from the year before. Got a bit disjointed and weren't the side that they were. I think they suffered badly from that, you know, four-game saga with Neil Connell and really suffered last year in the back of it, but they're definitely backfiring in all cylinders. Very impressive, putting up big scores, very structured and seem to have the bit between their teeth. And to me, they're going to be a very, very dangerous outfit this year. And again, I think they're down there, particularly given these, I think the weather's supposed to be not great and there'll be a gale blowing in some direction or maybe both directions in Mara Gallan, as tends to be the case on some days. I think they'll have too much for Glenfinn.
Okay. Probably a gale blowing too down in Fintra and Killybegs on Sunday. If it's in one end of the county, it's bound to be in the other. Milford's going to be the visitors to Fintra. How do you think that one's going to go?
Again, another 50-50 game. It's one of those games that could go anyway. Another young side coming through. It's probably disappointing results for both clubs. And there's injuries, I know, in the Killybegs side of the equation as well. So again, that's very much a 50-50 game. I think both of them will want to get a result out of it and be important for them to stay out of the dogfight, depending on who they get on the next round as well. I would fancy Killybegs at home. I just think it's a trip up there. They'll be well used to playing in Fintra. And I think Killybegs might just have a bit too much for Milford.
Yeah. But on the other side of that, a win for Milford, all of a sudden they go to 4 points with a round to go. 4 points could be enough to get you into the top eight, so it could, John.
Oh, no, it could be. You see, and they have a lot to fight for. And as I said, they're an impressive side. What I find about them, and I've seen them in different occasions down through the years, is when they're on it, they're really on it. Like when they're going well and things are going well for them, they're a very, very good slick outfit. They're coached well. Their fit side, and they can put up big scores. So there's an awful lot of talent. And, you know, the club has come a huge distance over the last 5, 7, 10 years and deserve a huge amount of credit because I know they're putting an awful lot of work into it down there. So if they can get the bit between their teeth and things go well for them early on, they'll definitely be in with a shout. And they won't go down there not fancying their chances.
Yeah. I don't want to hear 50-50 for the last game. St. Ewan's against Rua. John, Rua, St. Ewan's, well, there you go. You made your call there. But the Ballyshannon boys will be buoyed by their performance, particularly in the second half against Niamh Connell. And it could be another tight one, but it's definitely, without doubt, is the game of the round, John.
Yeah, it is, yeah. But they're all kind of games in the round in their own particular way. You know, St. Noel's, St. Swally's going to be a game give the round as well. I suppose there's the historical tradition, Eirua St. Eunan's thing that goes on there as well, and the clubs haven't met recently in quite some time in Championship football. Eirua have done an awful lot of work and have really come from, you know, I think they were down as far as Division 3 a number of years ago, and with Barry Ward at the helm, they've built a really, really good, solid young outfit that plays really good football. I think the attitude coming from Eirua last week against Niamh Connell was they gave Niamh Connell too much respect in the first half, and then they tore into them in the second half and really went at it. So they'll be coming down here again, buoyed by a very, very good performance. St. Eunan's, on the other hand, you know, were disappointed the first day, felt probably that they should have put Kilcare away. Probably the result or the scoreline against Herman flattered them a little bit the last day. So it's hard to know how well they're going. They're a team that I expected to have a very, very strong say in this year's championship. You know, I rated them probably up there, you know, as one of the favourites, if not the favourite, given, you know, over the last number of years, they should have probably beaten Niamh Connell, and through controversy and, you know, different thing, didn't manage to do it. So I had high expectations for St. Eunan's this year, but they haven't been firing on all cylinders. I think it'll be a sticky game for them, but I do think in O'Donnell Park, you know, if the other side of the equation, if St. Eunan's by some stretch of the imagination didn't want it, then they're under real pressure on the other side of the draw as well. So I think they'll have too much for it. I think they're building. I think they have an awful lot of talent, and I think they'll get across the line. And I think, you know, the game with Niamh Connell last week and how well Eirua did will give everybody a warning across the board that you shouldn't take them lightly.
Yeah. There's, of course, six intermediate games on Sunday as well. Buncrana, Clohanilly, Neve Columba against Convoy, Bird against Fanad Gaels, Neve Ulton, Dunlow, Neve Breed against Neve Wirra, Malintic on Red Hughes. The situation there is Dunlow and Neve Columba. They lead the way at the top, 3-1s from three, and they're already in the quarterfinals. Convoy need to win against Neve Columba if they are to stand any chance of making the last eight. They currently hold that ninth position there. There's still a lot to play for in that intermediate championship. But I know, John, you probably had battles with Neve Columba in your time, and they've really stepped up in championship football. And they sort of know now that they're in with the shout of possibly getting out of intermediate and making the step up again.
Yeah, and that applies the same thing. It applies to Dunlow as well. There would be two old rivals from the southwest of the county. We grew up playing them at underage level, particularly Dunlow, and then Neve Columba, like, were exceptional side, you know, back in the late 80s, early 90s, when you had the Higgerties and all those guys playing. Incredibly tough, hard, physical team that played great brand of football. And this team has adopted a lot of those traits as well. Very attractive team, play a lot of really good football, and have come through the ranks and are really stepping up to the mark. Dunlow as well, after the relegation, have really got their act together. I know in both clubs there's an awful lot of work going into it. So I think that this year, it's a really, really good intermediate championship this year. Some really good quality teams in there. And I think we're going to have very, very good, you know, latter eight stages of the intermediate championship as well as the senior championship.
Yeah, that quarterfinal draw will be made after the weekend's six games, which are all starting at the same time on Sunday in the Intermediate Championship. It's going to get really, really interesting now after this weekend. Listen, John, we started on Neve Connell. We're going to finish on them because the club have a senior championship final to play at the weekend against McCrews. Yep. It's the C decider. Have they tried to coach you back, have they?
No. There's probably bodies they could dig up that would be probably able to move better than I am able to move right now. So there's no need. I think it's testament to the club and the amount of work that's gone on there. Like, at every level, like, I know they're doing well in the reserves as well. They're doing well at underage levels. They seem to be contesting a lot of finals, and, you know, going to finals is a good habit. I know Plummer's doing a lot of work over there with that side as well. And there's a nice, you know, I look at some of the lads in that team, neighbours of my own, that boys that played senior football a couple of years ago and are drifted back down through the ranks. And then they have a whole cohort of young lads coming through as well. So nice mix, nice breed, you know, of footballer there right now. And it's another final, so the club delighted to be in it.
Yeah, that's senior C final, takes place at the Donald Park in Letterkenny on Saturday, and it throws in at 3:30 Neve Connell against McCrews. Listen, John, it's going to be another big weekend of football. We're all looking forward to it, and we thank you for joining us on the Score programme this evening to look at round three.
Thanks, Oisin.
That's John Gilday looking at the championship in Donegal this weekend. Elsewhere, the Tyrone Senior Football Championship starts on Sunday with two preliminary round ties. Ardbeau against Dromore and Derry Loughlin are playing Moy. There's also a full programme of matches being played in the Intermediate Championship in the Red Hand County. Just back to Donegal, there's also Donegal Senior Ladies Championship games this weekend, with Buncrana up against Mavill and Glenfinn to go on Termon. At intermediate level, it's Fanad Gaels versus Ardra, and St Mary's Convoy are on the road as they go to Milford. And there's two semi-finals to be played in the Junior Championship. Robert Emmets are hosting Gwydor, and Urus play Dunlow. Now, rallying returns to Donegal after an absence of almost a year and 9 months. Donegal Town will play host to the 2021 Harvest Stages Rally this coming Sunday. There will be 140 crews starting on Sunday morning, with the stages based on the outskirts of Donegal Town and the Drummer Rowan and Frosses area. The entry list is as impressive, not just in quantity, but also in quality, with former Irish Tarmac and National Rally champions included. Starting first on the road will be the Harvest winners from 2019, Callum Devine and Brian Hoy. Other drivers included in the top 10 are the likes of Josh Moffat, Sam Moffat, Donna Kelly, Declan Boyle and Desi Henry. And there's also a full modified entry as well, with around 8 or 9 different crews that could take the outright win in the two-wheel drive category. The first car will start shortly after 10 a.m. on Sunday morning, with 6 stages to be tackled by the crews. Clerk of the course is Eamon McCafferty, and speaking to me this week, he says it's fantastic to have rallying back in the county.
Ah, it is really, Oisin, like, you know, everybody, doesn't matter who they are, if the rallying men, everybody's just looking forward to it, and they can't wait to see it coming, like, you know, and it's definitely a big buzz for the area, like, you know, and maybe the county as well, like, you know, so it's great that people can get back out and enjoy the sport, whatever they like.
Yeah. When was the last time it was over your direction, Eamon?
We had the Harvest Rally in 2012 in Donegal Town. That time it was a championship round for the National Championship and the Border Championship, and there was a big buzz that time as well, Oisin.
Yeah, and obviously things have changed for this year. It's 2 stages done 3 times, it's 6 stages, and it's all under sort of the COVID umbrella, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's the sad thing about it, is just we have to be very careful and keep everything, walk by the rules, Oisin, and keep everything safe and keep everybody safe, really.
Yeah, and I suppose the competitors, from a competitor's point of view, they've been itching to get back on the roads, and something like 21 months since the last time there was an event in the county. So a COC, and you know a lot of these guys personally as well, you know them very well, Eamon, they've been they're very excited about this, so they are, they're mad to get back on the tar.
Oh, Oisin, without a doubt. There's boys coming out, you know, the mad can't get wait to get out to do recce, and even, like, you know, they're itching to get out, and it's just, it's like putting a ball under the field, they're mad to get away.
The stages that you picked, Eamon, will there be stages that are well known to the competitors, or have you and your team decided to mix it up and throw a couple of spanners at the boys?
We've a mix up on it, Oisin. Yeah, there will be parts of them familiar to them, but they're really mixed up, and they are technical stages, and whatever man wins the rally, he will definitely will be not going hard, but driving well, put it like that, like, you know, because they're good technical twisty stages now, there's no doubt, like, you know. But I had a few fellas wrecking there, and they're can't wait to get at them. I think they're great stages, like, you know. A wee bit bumpy, all right, but yeah. Other than that, yeah. Like, they like to drive. They don't like the big flats, like, you know. So yeah.
Why did you opt for that type of stage, Eamon? Because there's a whole selection of roads in the south part of the county, and then around Donegal Town, no matter what direction you go, north or south, and then you head out the direction you're going towards Frosses and even further afield again. There's lots of roads you could have chosen.
Yeah.
Why did you make it so technical for them?
Well, it was really, as a competitor myself, I would like technical stages at one stage, but really to do with COVID, really, we had to pick stages where there was very little junctions and sort of isolated areas. Now, I'm not talking Drummer Rowan areas isolated or nothing like that, but it kind of worked into the web a wee bit, that it was easier done PR in it, and the people out that country were very friendly, and really, you know, really like to see it coming, and the work by the book, like, as well, like, you know, it's just to do with COVID, really. That's what MI had stated, and I picked this was as close as I could get to suit that, which worked out great for rushing, like, you know.
Yeah, so it's a technical race for these guys. They've got about 90 kilometres of stages over the six stages. But let's look at the entry and, I suppose, heading it out. The last man to win a Harvest Rally was back in 2019 in Redcastle, which was Callum Devine and his co-driver Brian Hoy. They're seated at number one, and they're a crew that have been impressing, so they have, and representing Ireland very well on the ERC, and their speed has been exceptional over the last year or so since going further abroad to go rallying.
Oh yeah, the Callum's come on leaps and bounds, and take down a Cork there 2 weeks ago. There was nobody close to him. Like, you know, maybe Evans was close, all right. But Callum does go quick, and he's a good driver. And not only that, we have a top 10 there that could win that rally.
Yeah. Couple of, not forgetting about the Donegal boys, Donna Kelly and Declan Boyle. And they're like a lot of the other guys there. The seat time probably hasn't been there for them. But at the end of the day, they're in their home county, so they are, Eamon.
Yeah. These boys, they'll put it up to Callum, no doubt about that. And Donald, he's a good car. And, you know, the Muffin boys are there too, and they're all, as you say, they have got seat time now, and it's going to be interesting to see who comes out in the open fight on Sunday evening.
Yeah. Obviously, the modified is going to be very, very interesting as well. A category, of course, that Donegal Motorsport followers and fans and supporters have a real connection with. And there's a lot of men from down the south of the county will be looking to make their mark. So they will, Eamon.
Oh, indeed they will, Oisin, because that them two wheels right boys, their cars are unreal. And we have Daniel McKenna back now in a new car. And Daniel is not going to be sitting around. And Adrian Hedrington and all them boys is all coming, and with a local man, Daniel Brislin, who's in UKR, them boys will be on the pipe, there's no doubt about it,
Kevin Eaves, Jeff Shovlin, Stuart Darcy, Gary Kerr, listen, the list goes on, and we can't really forget about the club man and all this, so we can't, obviously the two-wheeled guys are there, and they're the club men, and there's the guys further on down the field as well, Eamon, that have been, they've been saving the pennies and putting the pounds together, so they have over the last 21 months to make sure that they can get a car on the road, and it's going to be an important event for them as well.
Yeah, it is, and we have about 10 juniors running there in through the field, and they're all, a couple of, about 4 or 5 of those young lads are all new to it, to the sport, and they're, it's going to suit them down the ground, and it's great to see them coming in, and they're well keen, or seem to get going, and they do the shakedown, they have all to do the shakedown on Saturday evening. We have a small 4K stage for them. And anybody who hasn't rallied the last 2 years to come out on Saturday evening after scrutiny, and get them all back in. And them boys are all keen to go. And as I say, we have 140 cars running, and as I say, every one of them is just anxious to get going. Yeah. All, down the field and all,
So. We don't normally have a shakedown, so we don't for events. So was it important that the motor club had the decision that they were to have a shakedown just to give guys maybe a couple of kilometres in the cars to get them back into the groove and into the mode again?
Yeah, well, it came from MI in a way at the start, there had to be a shakedown done for any guys that hadn't got done any rallying in the last 2 years. Right. And it's only for safety, really, and you didn't want to be out on the first stage with a pile of cars piled at the first corner. And as well as that, too, they'll be able to get the rust out of their cars and out of themselves as well.
So will some of the front runners maybe use it as well, will they then?
Oh, yeah, there will be. Some of the top men will be using it for to test their cars and set them up and all that. I've seen too as well.
Just finally, as COC, obviously there's going to be people out on the roads, so there is, and standing in ditches and field watching this event. And yes, as we said at the outset, we're under a COVID umbrella still.
Yeah.
So we are, Eamon, but as COC, what's your message to those people that will more than likely end up out in the stages and watching from the fields?
Yeah, well, the message would be, Oisin, for them to not stand in clusters, and spread themselves out, because we have two COVID officers going around, and if there's any problems at all, they'll just cancel the stage straight away, and just asking people to, obey their marshals and sort of, you know, let the sport go ahead, really. And we don't want to see no stages cancelled. That's one thing I don't want to happen, because it's only six stages, really, and the boys are paying their money and they need to get the value for their money. And if the spectators behave and do what they're told, we'll have no problems.
Okay. Eamon, good to talk to you, and we wish you and your team all the best with the return of rallying to Donegal and the Harvest Rally this weekend.
Thanks very much, Oisin.
That's Eamon McCafferty, COC of this weekend's Donegal Harvest Stages Rally. And don't forget, we will have updates from the event through the course of the afternoon here on Highland. Finally on the score tonight, just a note on boxing. The National Senior Championship Elite Finals are taking place tomorrow night, Friday, in Dublin. Northwest interest here comes in the form of young Paddy McShane of Letterkenny. He goes in the flyweight 51kg decider. In the final, he will meet Padraig Downey from St. John Bosco's in Belfast. Paddy is looking to bridge a 39-year gap since an elite title was last won by a Letterkenny fighter, and that was Eamon Coyle at super heavyweight back in 1982. And that is it from the Score programme for tonight. If you missed any of the show, you can of course recap in the sports section of highlandradio.com. Our next bulletin is with Chris Ashmore tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news. As always, what's left of your Thursday? Have a good one. Talk to you soon.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, proud sponsors of the Donegal GAA Championships. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.